This time we invite our children ages 3 through first grade to go to children's worship. And I invite you to take your Bible in hand and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. We're going to be reading verses 44 through 50 this morning of John's Gospel, chapter 12. If you're using one of the Bibles there in the pew, you will find John chapter 12, verse 44 on page 899. And if you do not own a Bible, we would invite you to accept that Bible there in the pew as a gift from Bethany Baptist Church this morning. We are celebrating the season of Advent in these weeks leading up to Christmas. It is a time of focus on and reflection on the coming of the Son of God to earth, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our celebration in Advent is centered upon this event, that the Son of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. He took on the form of a servant. He was born in the likeness of men. This is the second sermon in a series of four sermons titled Reasons Why Jesus Came. In these four sermons, we are finding reasons why Jesus came given in statements that Jesus himself made. We're looking in the gospel accounts and we're finding recorded occasions where Jesus said, "I have come for this purpose." And last Sunday, we looked in John chapter 6 and we saw the primary reason that Jesus came. And that primary reason Jesus came was to obey the Father. Jesus said, "I have come from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Jesus' obedience to the Father is what accomplished our salvation. Jesus fully obeyed God's law, and Jesus suffered the law's penalty for sin all in our place. We are beneficiaries of the primary reason why Jesus came, to obey the Father. Today, we're going to see in John chapter 12 that Jesus came to be light in the darkness. We begin reading at verse 44. Listen carefully to Jesus. "And Jesus cried out and said, 'Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Let's go to him in prayer. God, our Father, we pray that as your word has been read and as your word is now preached, that you would open our eyes that we might behold Jesus. Because we have come here today, Father, those of us who are your people, we've come here and we have lived a week amid darkness. God, we've seen darkness in our world around us. We've seen the darkness that still resides in our own sinful flesh. And we desperately need a fresh vision of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's someone here today who's never even come out of the darkness, never been delivered from the darkness. And that person or those people, they desperately need to see Jesus, who is the light of the world. And so we pray, Father, that you would open our eyes now, that by your word and by your spirit, we might see him who is your Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the light who has come into the darkness. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This passage Jesus speaks again to his purpose in coming. What's the reason why Jesus came that is given here? From the mouth of Jesus, we find here in John chapter 12 that Jesus came to be light in the darkness. Now, we're going to think over all that Jesus said in these verses shortly, but verse 46 is the focus verse for this morning's sermon. And so there in verse 46, Jesus said, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." From that statement, we learn three things. We learn something about the world in which we live, namely that the world is in darkness. We learn something about Jesus and what Jesus came to do, namely that Jesus is light, and he came as light into the darkness. And we learn about the only response that brings salvation, namely, believe in Jesus. If we believe in Jesus, we no longer remain in the darkness. We are in the light. This is salvation, to live in the light of Jesus, trusting him, surrendered to him. The latter part of John chapter 12 is taken up with this subject of Jesus being the light in the darkness. Earlier in the chapter is John's record of that event in which Jesus entered Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. This is triumphal entry into the city. It was an event that marked the beginning of his week of passion, the week in which he would die on a cross for our sin. And Jesus spoke of that coming hour of his sacrifice with a troubled soul. Look back at verse 27 of this chapter. Jesus said, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The Father glorified his name in the life of Jesus. The Father glorified his name in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Now those who were there thought they had heard thunder. That's what John tells us. They thought that, some of them thought maybe an angel had spoken to Jesus. But in verse 30, Jesus told them, "This voice has not come for my sake. This voice has come for your sake." And then Jesus showed them the way he would die by saying, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." And then look what Jesus says in verses 35 and 36. "So Jesus said to them, 'The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light.'" It's the same message that we read in our focus verse, verse 46. The world is in darkness. What is the only way that you can push out darkness? What is the only way that darkness is overcome? You bring in light. Jesus came to be the light in the darkness. Anyone who believes in Jesus will not remain in darkness. We are in the light. We will become sons of light. Chapter 12 is not the first record in this gospel account of these statements of Jesus being the light. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but has the light of life." In the prologue of John's gospel, in John chapter 1, we read these words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." This purpose in Jesus' coming, that Jesus came to be light in the darkness, is referred to some 20 times in John's gospel account. Here in our text in John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus states the reason outright. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. So what does it mean that Jesus came to be light in the darkness? Well, it'll help us, before we consider Jesus as light, to consider our world in darkness. This is the world in darkness. In the Bible, darkness is a symbol of sin and sin's effects. Darkness is a symbol of falsehood. Darkness is a symbol of ignorance. Darkness is a symbol of the inability to find the right way. Darkness is a symbol of strife and enmity. Darkness is a symbol of times of trial. Darkness is a symbol of death and the grave. All of those things I just listed are effects of what happened in Genesis chapter 3 when our race fell in sin. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, dwelt in the Garden of Eden, where the tree of life was found, with perfect fellowship with the Creator. But when our first parents listened to the lies of the serpent, Satan, and distrusted and disobeyed the Creator, our world was plunged into darkness. And all of those effects of sin followed, culminating in the ultimate effect, death. Darkness is a symbol of sin and sin's effects. Sin and sin's effects are darkness because sin has cut us off from God, who is light. Light is the nature and character of God. God is not a light. God is light. God is the source of all light. The third verse in the Bible tells us that after God created the heavens and the earth, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God is light, and He is the light giver. And in light, there is life. We understand this. We know it to be so. God is light, and God is life. With God, we're in the light. Apart from God, there is darkness. With God, there is life. Separated from God, there is death. That is the great dilemma of our race ever since Genesis chapter 3. The Bible tells us that our sin has made a separation between us and God. Our great dilemma in sin is that we do not know God. God is unknown to us. We live in darkness of sin and sin's effects. Not only do we live in darkness, but we're held captive by darkness, imprisoned. Darkness has us shackled. Darkness has shackled us to ignorance, to falsehood. We often willfully choose evil over good, evil thoughts over good thoughts, evil words over good words, evil acts over good acts. Our conscience plainly tells us that something is wrong, but we want to do that something anyway. And so we do it. It's outright rebellion. We often also do evil thinking it to be good. We consider this action before us and we think this is good. It feels good to do this. It seems like the right way to go, but it's not. It's evil. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." Even when we do something good, something right, it's not purely good and right because we do it for the wrong reasons. Less than perfect reasons. So deep is our prison cell in darkness that the perfect reason for which we should do all things good, namely the glory of God, seems off. It seems odd. It seems strange that we should live for the sole reason of glorifying God. The Bible says it this way in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's our world. It's a world of darkness. Our race is shackled in falsehood, shackled in ignorance, shackled in the inability to find the right way, shackled in enmity and strife, shackled in trials, shackled to death and the grave. The whole world lies under the power of the evil one whose lies brought about the fall of our world into sin and darkness. And our race dwells under his dominion in the domain of darkness. Darkness and death separated from light and life. From Genesis chapter 3 to the end of the Old Testament, we find a story riddled with darkness. Sin and sin's effects are on the pages throughout. And we know, we see that the sin described in those pages still here is here in our world today. Even if we repackage it all with contemporary packaging. Idolatry. Enmity. Murder. Strife. Sexual immorality in as many forms as we can think up. And the effects of sin are yet with us. People trying to find the right way, yet unable to do so. Seeking satisfaction in the accumulation of wealth, power, or prestige. Seeking worth in the number of followers we have on social media. Seeking fulfillment in the gratification of sexual autonomy and desires. Meantime, I just read recently in an article that the suicide rate in our country alone is at a 50-year high. Look at our times through an Old Testament lens, and we see that our world is still very much in darkness. But also from Genesis chapter 3 to the end of the Old Testament, we find a story of God giving progressive light. Even in Genesis chapter 3, as he pronounced judgment upon our sin, God gave light as he issued a promise that one day would come who would crush the head of the serpent whose lies plunged our world into darkness. And God continued to give light as he chose a people for himself, a nation who had Abraham as their father, with a divine promise that through Abraham's seed, the whole world would be blessed. More light as God brought his people out of the chains of slavery in Egypt, and he gave them a promise of a land in which they would dwell and he would dwell there with them. More light as God gave to Israel his law and its moral goodness. And of that law, the people were to sing these words in Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. In Psalm 119, a very familiar refrain, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. The law of God offered light. The law of God offered life. The problem was no one could perfectly follow the light and gain life. More light from God was needed, and so God sent his prophets who spoke of a day when the light God gives would culminate, it would crescendo, it would reach an apex of brilliance in which the presence of God himself would be with us to drive out the darkness. He who is light would come and defeat darkness and set the prisoners free. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 6. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6, I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. The Old Testament concludes with this promise in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. The sun would rise, the light would shine, and the prisoners in darkness would be set free. That was the promise spoken by God's prophets. Light would bring truth. Light would bring knowledge. Light would bring illumination of the right path. Light would bring reconciliation and do away with strife and enmity. Light would bring hope in times of trial. Light would bring life by conquering death and the grave. Life would bring healing. Darkness would be overcome by light. Now I think we're ready to hear what Jesus is saying when Jesus said, I came as light in the darkness. Now I hope that we're eager and we're elated to hear John declare the light has shined in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus came to be light in the darkness, and that means this, that God has come into our world to conquer sin and to set us free from sin and its effects. That is the awesome news of Christmas. That Jesus is the very presence of God with us. That when Jesus was born, he who in the beginning said, let there be light, was entering into the world that he created, into the world that had distrusted and disobeyed him, into the world that he had spoken into existence, and yet a world that had been plunged into darkness because of the rebellion of mankind. He who is light and who is the source of all light was coming into the world, and he was coming into the world for this purpose, to overcome the darkness. That's the message of this text, and that is what we celebrate at Christmas. In verses 44 and 45, Jesus cried out, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me, and whoever sees me sees him who sent me. In these statements, Jesus plainly declared his divine nature, his deity. Throughout John's gospel, Jesus has made statements declaring himself and the Father to be one. And here in John chapter 12, he states it again. He says, when you believe in me, you're believing in God. When you see me, you're seeing God. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus spoke of his cross. He spoke of that coming hour of his sacrifice when he would die for the sins of the world. And we just looked at it. Jesus prayed, Father, glorify your name. And the Father answered, not for Jesus' sake, but for ours. The Father answered, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Now, to glorify God's name means to make God's name known. God's name is his identity. So to make God's name known is to make God known. Do you follow? So Jesus said, Father, glorify your name. And the Father said, for our sake, he said, I have glorified it. That is that God has been made known to us in the life of Jesus, in his actions, in his words, in his incarnation, God has been made known to us. And then the Father said, I will glorify it again. That is, that God has been made known to us in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So let's tie this in with last week. You remember last week we saw that the primary reason Jesus came was to obey the Father. And that by Jesus' perfect obedience to the law of God in our place, and that through Jesus' suffering the law's penalty for sin in our place, our salvation is accomplished if we believe in him. No man in the darkness could have accomplished that. You hear me? There is no man of darkness who could have accomplished that. There is no man who could live and die so that we might be set free. No, the God that we did not know, the God who we could not know because of our sin, he has made himself known to us by accomplishing that salvation for us. The light had to come, and he had to live in the darkness. He had to pitch his tent among us. He had to live in our place. He had to die. He had to suffer the ultimate effect of our sin. He had to enter into death. He had to enter into the grave and then rise triumphant over the darkness for us to be saved. And that's Jesus. That's what Jesus has done. He came to be light in the darkness. And the command of this passage is to believe in him. To trust Jesus. To put your faith in Jesus. To surrender your all to Jesus. Jesus said in verse 49 that he spoke this command on the authority of God the Father who had sent him. He said, "The Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak." This is the command of God concerning Jesus. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. That's God's command. Now, there are three glorious consequences to obeying God's command to believe in Jesus that we're going to find right here in our text. Three consequences. The first one is this. The first and fundamental consequence to faith in Jesus is in verse 45. It is knowing God. Jesus said, "Whoever sees me sees him who sent me." To believe in Jesus is to have a personal saving knowledge of God. If you would see God, you must look to Jesus. If you would know God, you must know Jesus. You will not see God anywhere else. You will not know God anywhere else. God was unknown to us. That was our great dilemma in our sin. Our sin had made a separation between us and God. We did not know God. By faith in Jesus, that separation is removed. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That is the new existence of the believer in Christ. The first and fundamental consequence of faith in Jesus is knowing God. Everything else flows from that. Do we understand? That's the first and the fundamental consequence of faith in Jesus. Now, flowing from that consequence, we have this consequence found in verse 46. We are delivered from darkness. Jesus said in our focus verse, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." Faith in Jesus results in deliverance from darkness. Deliverance from falsehood into truth. Deliverance from ignorance into knowledge. Deliverance from the inability to find the right way to the ability to follow Jesus along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Our hearts, our foolish hearts, once darkened in sin, has the light of the presence of God within. And so for those of us who come to faith in Jesus, our testimony is that of the hymn we're going to sing in just a few moments. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come to thee. Our testimony is that of Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's the new existence of the believer in Jesus. And then down in verse 50, we have another consequence that follows knowing God, having faith in Jesus, and that consequence is eternal life. Jesus said, I know that his commandment is eternal life. God has come into the darkness, and sin and its effects are vanquished by the light. All of sin's effects, including its ultimate effect, death. If we have faith in Jesus, we know God. And if we know God, we're going to live forever. That's what Jesus said elsewhere. He prayed to the Father, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Knowing God, we have eternal life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 and 57. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the new existence of the believer. In the waning days of February 1942, the Battle of Java was fought between the Japanese Imperial Navy and the Allied navies. And at the end of that battle, which was a very short battle, there was a dispatch that reached Philadelphia and was published in the Evening Bulletin. And the dispatch reported that during the battle, one of the Allied destroyers was torpedoed and sunk. And when that happened, 116 living men went into the water. And they were struggling in the seas that were slick with oil and in the pitch black darkness of night. And their cries reached the ears of men on a passing cruiser, the USS Houston. And the dispatch gave this report. Some unknown friendly hand. Let me read that again. Some unknown friendly hand aboard the Houston had the quickness of mind to throw them an illuminated life preserver. It was the light attached to it that guided a British destroyer to their rescue. Regulation American Navy life belts with a floating light attached, tossed overboard from the cruiser Houston, were the means that saved the lives of these men. They not only supported them in the dark, troubled waters, but led to their final safety. That is a vivid illustration of what God has done for us in sending Jesus. An unknown friendly hand has thrown out the illuminated life preserver to us, and his name is Jesus. And clinging to him, we are supported in the darkness that we continue to live in this world. Clinging to him, we are supported even as we battle the darkness of our sinful flesh that remains. Clinging to him, we are actually made to be the light of the world that he has made us to be. And clinging to him, we will be led to our final safety. These are the consequences of faith in Jesus. Knowing God, who was unknown to us, delivered from the darkness, and eternal life. I'm so glad Jesus came to be light in the darkness. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Before we close, we need to be very careful to note that there is also a consequence of unbelief in our text. And that consequence is judgment. Jesus said in verses 47 and 48, "If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." In his first advent, Jesus came not to judge, Jesus came to save. But he says in verse 48, "The one who does not hear and heed his command to wholly believe upon him," upon Jesus, that person has a judge. The judge is the word that Jesus has spoken, to believe. The word that Jesus, the command that Jesus has given to believe upon him for salvation, it will be the deciding verdict on that last day when Jesus comes again. Believe on Jesus now. Put your faith on Jesus now. Trust Jesus now. Surrender your life to Jesus now. The words of Jesus are the words of God. And a person who does not obey the command of Jesus to believe upon him will remain in darkness. That person will remain under condemnation. That person will remain under the dominion of the evil one and in his domain of darkness. And that person will experience the eternal torment of separation from God, who is light and life. If you have not put your faith in this Jesus, his word is very near to you right now. His command to believe upon him, it's right now before you. That word will either save you now or it's going to judge you then. Believe on Jesus. Trust Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. Surrender your life to Jesus, because Jesus, he came to be light in the darkness. Father, your love for us is astounding. The awesome news that you have sent your Son into the darkness of our sin and our rebellion. You have sent him to overcome that darkness and to set us free from our sin and from its effects. Father, this is, well, the world has never received any news that's better than this. It's awesome news. And God, I pray for all of us, for myself and for my brothers and sisters who make up Bethany, that having heard again from your word this morning that our Lord came to be light in the darkness, that we would be strengthened and that we would go out of this place with much joy and that we would battle in the darkness against the darkness of our sinful flesh and our hearts by keeping it before us at all times he who is the light of the world, our Savior. And I pray, God, that if there's anyone here today who's never put their faith in Christ, that that person's eyes today would have been opened to see the light and to come to the light. Because, Jesus, you promised that whoever does that will not remain in darkness. Your gospel is awesome. And I pray, Father, that it would do its work in all of us right now and as we leave this place. And it's for your glory, and in your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.